Today, at Oceanside, we have what is referred to as our Military Appreciation Day. When this congregation was originally established, one of the reasons that it was placed in this neighborhood is because it would be closer to the base. And we wanted to appeal to the military, and we wanted any military families to be able to come and worship with us. And so they also chose this Sunday in order to honor all those individuals who are either in the military or who have served in the military. Tomorrow, however, is a totally different day. Tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating what is known as Memorial Day. Folks, that day is totally different from Veterans Day. Memorial Day honors all those individuals who are fallen soldiers, all those individuals who have given their lives for our great nation in order to preserve our freedoms and to allow us to be able to enjoy our lives as we do. But today we're focused upon honoring those who are in the military, and we'll be doing more of that as we eat after our Bible class this morning. As I was thinking about today and what we're trying to do, another thought came to my mind, and it involves several things. Number one, it involves the fact that the church is a kingdom. In fact, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter refers to it as a kingdom. When you have a kingdom, you also have to have a ruler, someone who is over that kingdom. And the one who is over this kingdom is referred to in Scripture as Jesus Christ, and He is known as the captain of our salvation. And just as our nation oftentimes is at war with other nations, my friends, there is a war that is being fought. This nation, this spiritual kingdom, is at war with the world. It is at odds with the kingdom of Satan. It is at odds with those things that are evil and ungodly and those things that oppose righteousness and the precious word of the living God. And the point that Scriptures make is this: that each one of us as Christians, each one of us as God's children, are soldiers in the Lord's army. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and he says this: "Thou therefore endure hardship," notice what he says, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." My friends, you and I are soldiers in the Lord's army. One of my most favorite songs when I was in Vacation Bible School was that little song that said, "I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, but folks, I am in the Lord's army." And so are all of us who are faithful Christians in the body of Christ. I thought we might do a lesson then entitled, "The Traits of a Good Soldier." Somehow, Aaron found out that there are 10 of them. And he says, "How in the world are you going to preach that lesson in 30 minutes? He said, "How long do you intend to keep us?" I said, "Long enough to keep you hungry." But let's go through these traits for just a few minutes. Here's the first trait: respect for authority. As soon as a soldier enters into the military, he automatically understands that there is a hierarchical structure as far as authority is concerned. He enters in on the very bottom level oftentimes, doesn't he? He goes in as a private, and those individuals let him know very quickly that he has almost no authority and that he is to submit to the authority of another individual. He is to be an individual who honors and respects and gives all to all those who are above him in authority. And my friends, in like manner, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, there is to be respect for authority, and especially for the Almighty God. We turn over to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, and the Bible says this: "Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God." That's how he begins. You and I are to have a respect and awe, a devotion for the Almighty God of heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the inspired writer says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God," listen to him, "with reverence and godly fear." My friends, our God is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of this universe. The Bible refers to Him as the governor of the universe. He is over all. There are no other gods beside Him. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. He is above all. He possesses supreme authority. And all of us, as soldiers in the Lord's army, are to respect His authority. Now, one point I want to make before we leave this point is this. There is an idea, a concept, that has permeated our society today that says this: respect for authority is nothing more than a state of mind. Now, that is true. It is a state of mind. It is something that you and I think. But my friends, that state of mind has to be demonstrated, does it not? That state of mind also has behaviors that are connected with it. That's true in the military, and that's true also in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not enough merely to say, well, I have respect in my heart, and then not manifest that in outward displays to the Almighty God. We've got to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap that respect for authority is nothing more than a mindset. Folks, it is behavior. It is actions that are displayed. Point number two. Not only do we have respect for authority, but we also are to be prepared. When an individual enlists in the military, he is not just immediately sent to the front lines, is he? Absolutely not. He goes through a period of what is referred to as basic training. 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 14 weeks, whatever it might be. And oftentimes, he is then sent to further training before he ever starts his very first position. Our military wants individuals who are standing there on those lines, prepared in what they are responsible for doing. And my friends, you and I, as soldiers, must be prepared. And the way we do that is through a study of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, 13 and 14, we read of two groups of individuals in the body of Christ. One of them are referred to as babes. They are unskillful in the word of righteousness. The other group are referred to as full grown. That is, they are mature. They are perfect. They are complete. And they are skillful in the word of righteousness. The writer says they are also able to discern between that which is good and evil. If you and I are going to be prepared saints, if you and I are going to be prepared soldiers, we've got to get our mind into this book and study it diligently in order to be ready for the things that are out there in our world. Another passage of Scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Not only are our troops trained with regard to our military tactics and our military knowledge, but they are also trained with regard to the enemy as well, are they not? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." I have to know my own strategy as well as the strategy of the enemy if I'm in the military. And you and I need to know our own strategies as well as the strategies of the enemy. Folks, we've got to study what Satan wants to do and is trying to do and how he's trying to do it in our lives to defeat us and to destroy us in our service to the Almighty God. It is absolutely essential that every child of God is prepared for the fight. Thirdly, a soldier is an individual who is strong, is he not? I've met very few soldiers that are weak. And we talk about this idea of being strong. It's not just physically strong, they are that. But they are also mentally tough and strong as well, aren't they? And in like manner, we as soldiers in the Lord's army have to be strong individuals. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Watch this. Be strong, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. We turn to another passage of Scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. My friends, we need individuals in the Lord's church today who are strong, stalwart, muscular, as far as their spiritual man is concerned. And there's two areas wherein we must be strong. First, in our abilities. I may mention a while ago of Carlos, and he has numerous talents and numerous abilities. Folks, God gave him those, but guess what? He's capitalized on those. He's gone out and applied himself, and he's made himself what he is today because of that application. And in like manner, God has granted unto us talents and abilities, and we have to develop those and make ourselves strong for the Almighty God, not weak. Notice also it refers to our ability to endure as well. You find out just how tough a person is down in the trenches when the going gets hard, don't you? When the battle is long, when the battle is hard, when the battle is tough, when it is filled with pain and anguish, then we find out who the weaklings are and who the strong ones are. Things don't always go our way, folks. Things don't always look positive. And sometimes we have to put our heads down and just endure. And how do we do it? Through strength. Now again, there's another point I want to make. These are all extras, these points. If it's not on the slide, it's extra. Okay? And they don't even pay me for that. There is a group of individuals in our world today. Sometimes they're referred to IS. Sometimes they're referred to as ISIS. Sometimes they're referred to by other names. Sometimes they're referred to as Islamic extremists. They are terrorists in our world. They would like us to think that they are strong. And folks, when we talk about that kind of strength, that is not what we're talking about with regard to Christians. Folks, those individuals are mean. Those individuals are savages. Those individuals are people who do not have courage. They are individuals who attack innocent individuals, even women and children, in order to kill them. That's not the kind of strength that we're talking about. Folks, we're talking about strength that lies within, that's positive in nature, that seeks to overcome Satan and the evil one. Strength. Notice also, we have to have courage, do we not? I love to study courage. It has a lot of different definitions. One of the definitions is this: to have heart. Now, if you go into the dictionary and you look it up, you know what it says about that particular definition? That it is obsolete, that it is archaic, that it is not now the common definition of the word. And to me, it's the one that engulfs the idea of what courage is. Folks, courage is something that lies deep within inside of us. It's having heart. But another definition of courage is this: to conquer fear and to still move forward. You know, there's some times that things stand in our way that scare us to death, don't they? Deep down inside, we wonder if we have the strength to overcome. We wonder if we really can be victorious. And what does courage do? Courage conquers that fear and presses forward against the enemy. But watch this next definition: a spirit of mind that enables one to face difficulty, danger, and pain. Love that definition. Moses was standing on this side of the Jordan River. He was an old man. He had led the nation of Israel through all the wilderness, and now it was his time to die. Another was about to take his place, a man by the name of Joshua. And we turn to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Moses is handing over his leadership to Joshua. And you read through that text, and three times Moses tells that man this statement: be strong and of a good courage. I find it interesting, after Moses is dead, we turn to Joshua, the 1st chapter, and now God is speaking directly to Joshua. And three times in that chapter, God tells Joshua, "Joshua, be strong and of a good courage." You see, folks, courage is needed as a soldier in the Lord's army. Why do we need courage? Because you see, sometimes we have to stand in the minority and not the majority. Sometimes we are individuals who are going to have to stand on principles and not stand on popularity. There are times when you and I are going to have to stand with God and not stand with the world. And there are times when you and I stand with God and we do not stand with family nor friends either. Sometimes we may find ourselves all alone and having to stand against everyone else. But folks, it takes courage to do those kind of things. A soldier has to reach down deep inside and have the spirit needed to face difficulty, danger, and pain. That's courage, folks. Another trait is this. A soldier is dependable. When you talk about soldiers being dependable, you're talking about them being worthy of trust, reliable individuals. The soldiers that I know, they show up for duty. A soldier is an individual who's going to be there standing at his post when he's supposed to be there. A soldier is an individual who follows orders. A soldier is a man who does what he says he's going to do. You can trust it. You can bank on it. Folks, a soldier is a person who's reliable and dependable. You don't ever look around and have to wonder, where in the world is soldier so-and-so? See, sometimes on Sunday I look around and I wonder where the soldiers are. You know that? Where are they? They're not at their posts. They're not at their duty. They're not at their responsibility. They're not doing what they've been ordered to do. That's not a true soldier, folks. A true soldier is dependable and reliable. In the Scripture, it is referred to as being faithful. That's what it's referred to. When you look up the definition of the word faithful, it means this: to render firm, to be permanent, to be true. Love that term. Faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, Paul says this: moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Folks, when you and I signed up, when you and I enlisted in the Lord's army, guess what? We told our superior we're going to be faithful. We're going to be reliable. We're going to be dependable. We're going to be there. We're going to show up for the fight. We are not individuals who are going to be AWOL. You're not going to have to wonder where we are. You're not going to have to go out searching for us. Folks, we're going to be exactly where you want us to be. That's what a soldier does at all times. Another quality of a soldier is that he's focused, is he not? That little word focused is an interesting term. I found this statement: safety depends on a soldier staying focused on his job. Folks, all you have to do is let your mind wander for a minute or two, and guess what? Out on the battlefield, you can be shot. You can be taken hostage. It doesn't take anything for something terrible to happen to you if you don't stay focused on what you're doing. If you don't stay focused, guess what? Something horrible can happen to someone else. And in like manner, you and I as Christian soldiers have to stay focused. Look what Paul tells Timothy. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this world, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Notice what Paul says. You can't be focused on the affairs of the world. You can't have your mind on things that are without. You can't have your mind focused on things on this earth. Folks, we got to be focused on things above as soldiers of Christ. As I was thinking about this point, I had a question. It's this: if you were today to stand before your Lord Jesus Christ and He were to ask you what is your primary focus in life, what would you tell Him? What would you tell Him? Now remember, He already knows. Oh, I'm sure all of us would love to say, oh, my primary focus is spiritual things. We'd love to be able to say that, wouldn't we? The answer is, the truth is, can we? You see, we get focused on school, we get focused on work, we get focused on family, we get focused on recreation, we get focused on pleasure. We get focused on all kinds of things in this world. We get focused upon self, we get focused upon our feelings and our wants and our wishes and our desires. And sometimes all of those things cause us to lose our true spiritual focus as soldiers in the Lord's army. Folks, what is important is God and His kingdom. That's what's important. And it should be first and foremost in every one of our lives. Solidarity of focus is what God wants out of His children. We also have to be individuals who are alert, don't we? That little word alert is another interesting term. If I can get it to switch, there it is. Fully aware. Attentive, wide awake. Sometimes you look around and especially in services you see a few folks that are struggling with being alert. Now I can understand that in services sometimes. Preacher gets a little boring or long-winded. It's the way it happens. Now folks, as far as our Christian lives are concerned, we've always got to be awake, do we not? We got to be soldiers. We're at our post. And the Bible exhorts us to be alert in numerous instances. Jesus tells us to watch. Matthew 25, verse 13. The Bible says, be sober. Titus 2 and verse 6. We're told to be individuals who are to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, Peter says. We are to be individuals who are to gird up the loins of our mind. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. We are to be individuals, according to Paul, who are not to be in sleep, but to be wide awake. Look at this text. And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time that we awake out of sleep. Now, I didn't put the second part of that verse on there, but folks, that's the sobering part of the verse. It gives us the reason why we need to be awake. And he tells us the reason is this. Because now is our salvation nearer than the day that we believed. I became obedient to the gospel about age 13. I'm almost 58 now. Folks, that's a long time ago, isn't it? You want to know what? I'm nearer today than I was then to my salvation. I could die today. Folks, we could leave this building this afternoon and our Lord and Savior come back in order to receive His own, could He not? I'm nearer today than I was yesterday. And if that be the case, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans that you and I need to quit being asleep. We've got to get our eyes open. We've got to wake up. And we've got to be focused and alert to our spiritual lives. Another quality of a soldier is this, his ability to persevere. Folks, perseverance involves enduring afflictions, enduring pains. We've already made mention of this verse in the opening part of this lesson. Notice what Paul tells Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm glad some of the war movies have been put out. I don't like how explicit they are sometimes, but folks, they help me to understand the horrors of war. I never was in the military. And some of the things that those men endured is unbelievable. The picture that I have there is of Pigeon Forge. And folks, way back then in the Revolutionary War. Those soldiers endured hardships at that time that were unbelievable. Frozen feet. No food. Freezing temperatures. Unbelievable stuff those individuals endured. And yet, what did they do? They persevered, did they not? And you and I, as soldiers of Christ, we have to do exactly the same thing. Folks, we're going to be in battles. with other kinds of individuals that are evil and wicked. And sometimes those battles are going to go on for a long period of time, and they're not going to be easy. And we are going to grow discouraged. And what do? We just button down the hatches, we bend our heads, and we just keep pressing forward, don't we? Endurance reaches deep, deep within. I've been preaching the gospel for about 36 years now. That's a long time. And I've been in congregations where things aren't good, where things are hard, where things are difficult. Church problems, whatever it might be, dwindling numbers, not meeting budget, whatever it is. And folks, guess what you do? You just buckle down, don't you? You reach deep within and you just keep doing what God wants you to do. And you just keep following your orders of your commander. But also, the reason that we can have endurance is because we're not totally consumed about the here and now. Oh yes, the here and now is reality. The here and now is difficult, maybe. The here and now is something that we must take note of. But guess what? This is not my total focus. I know that there's something beyond, don't you? And as far as the Christian is concerned, it is one word, and it is this: victory. And that's what we long for, and that's what we desire, and that's what we are expecting in the last day. So what do? We never give up, and we just keep pressing forward. Here's what we have to do to endure. You embrace the difficulties, don't you? Okay, so things aren't right. Okay, things aren't going perfectly. Okay, things are tough. Guess what? I embrace the difficulties, and I find my way to work through those difficulties, to get over those difficulties, around them, whatever I have to do. And I endure, and I never, ever, ever, ever quit. Perseverance. A good soldier is obedient, is he not? Folks, a soldier learns early on that you better obey orders, hadn't you? Just let you look at a captain and tell him, I ain't doing that. I wouldn't do that. Wouldn't do that. Got old Ed over there laughing. He knows what it means. You see, there's times when it's serious business, isn't it? And when you're given an order, guess what? You follow that order, don't you? And the same is true of us as God's children. Moses was addressing the children of Israel. Folks, they were a physical kingdom, were they not? And Moses tells them, thou shalt follow after the Lord thy God and fear Him and obey His commandments and hear His voice and serve Him, he says. Folks, that's what we have to do as children of God. Jesus asked an interesting question in Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say? Folks, the word Lord means the one who is superior, the one who is a commander, the one who is over another individual, the Lord. He says, why do you call me Lord if you're not going to obey me? Hebrews 5:9 says that He becomes the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. My responsibility is to find out what Jesus' commands are and do them with every fiber of my being, folks. Here's something we need to understand. Folks, obedience is not what I think obedience is. Got that? You see, there's a lot of individuals, if you were to ask them, are you obedient to God? Oh, yes, I'm obedient. And then you examine their lives, and guess what? They are far from obedient. Far from obedient. And you wonder, what in the world are you doing? Where are you finding your definition of obedience? Folks, obedience is not what I think obedience is. Obedience is the full compliance of me to the will of the Almighty God. That's what obedience is. And unless we're rendering that, we may be falling far, far short. Here's something that individuals don't like, and it's a reality. Folks, a soldier is a man who fights. I bet you every soldier that went through boot camp was trained to fight, weren't they? Some way, somehow, they were trained to fight. Fight physically, fight with a weapon, fight with several different kinds of weapons. Trained to fight, that's what a soldier does, folks. It's amazing to me today that we have young people enlisting in the armed forces, then they're called upon to fight and they cry. What are you doing there? That's what a soldier does. A soldier fights. We're soldiers in the Lord's army, folks. And the Bible exhorts us to fight, doesn't it? Paul told Timothy to war a good warfare, 1 Timothy 1:18. He told him to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Jude said that we are to contend earnestly for the faith. That little word contend means to wrestle. And to wrestle just as with as much diligence as you possibly can. The Bible tells us that we are to defend the truth, Philippians 1 verse 17. And that we are to stand with our loins girded about with truth, with the total armor of God on, and fight those evil ones that are in the world. I can just see what you're saying now. Oh, that preacher said we're supposed to fight. And we're Christians. Christians don't fight. Folks, I'm not talking about physical stuff. It's not what we're talking about, is it? Well, what are you talking about then? One of the points that we'll make is this. We're talking about teaching. We're talking about reasoning with individuals. We're talking about argumentation, bold argumentation. Being able to present our arguments for truth, listen to the counters, and then to overcome those counters with even more truth. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about fighting the enemy. It is a spiritual battle. It is a battle for the minds of men and women. Now, I realize it's also to be tempered, isn't it? It's to be tempered with love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. It's to be tempered with gentleness, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. But yet it is a fight nonetheless, folks. Not mean, not evil, but yet a fight, a battle, an engagement with another individual in a struggle of ideas. It also involves our being on the offensive, folks, not just the defensive. And that's where we've fallen short, isn't it? You see, God has told us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. God doesn't want us just sitting here in our little church building. Folks, He wants us to take the truth and to go out with that truth and do battle against the enemy and spread Christian theology to those that are lost. And guess what? There's to be no backing down. You know that? No backing down whatsoever. What did Paul tell Timothy? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold it fast. Don't back down. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it down and run. You hold it fast and you stand against the forces of evil. Folks, we've got a battle to fight. And we as soldiers have to fight it. Unbelievable, isn't it? 10 qualities. I finished in pretty fast time. Folks, we're soldiers in the Lord's army. We need to understand that. The second point's even more powerful. We are in the fight of our lives as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. We've got an enemy that you and I cannot hardly imagine how evil he is. You know that? It's hard to think the way Satan thinks when it comes to humanity. He wishes absolutely no good on any man. He desires that every soul in this building, every soul in this community in the world be lost and condemned to a devil's hell. And he'll do anything to win that battle. If you and I are going to be victorious, if you and I are going to overcome, if we are going to be individuals who stand on the side of our Lord Jesus Christ and fight this battle, we're going to have to implement those traits that we just talked about in our lives on a daily basis. And folks, we can't waver from them. We've got to stand from now till victory day, don't we? But here's an interesting point. If you're going to be a soldier, guess what? You've got to enlist, don't you? Today, the United States has an all-volunteer military. It has for many years, hasn't it? If you want to be a part of the military now, guess what? You've got to go and sign up. You've got to volunteer. I remember when I was a little kid, this picture that I'm about to show you was something that was almost everywhere, all the time. We were right in the throes of the Vietnam War at that time. And the picture says this, "We want you." If you watch television much, guess what? You didn't want that. But guess what? There's another picture that we need to consider, and it's this one. Jesus wants you. And He begs and pleads for you, doesn't He? "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's not pointing at you. He's holding open arms out, begging and pleading for you to come. But folks, He wants you. Are you in this audience today and you're not a Christian? You need to be. Become a member of the Lord's army. The steps are simple. I always like to go back to Acts, the second chapter. First time the gospel's preached after Jesus has died and risen from the grave and ascended to the right hand of God. Peter and those 11 apostles proclaim the gospel of truth to those Jews. And many of them are convicted, aren't they? "Men and brethren, what must we do?" The first time the question was ever asked, this side of the cross of Calvary, "What must we do?" Then Peter said unto them, this is with no commentary, then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Victor Eskew didn't say that. An inspired man by the name of Peter said that. Repent and be baptized. My friends, if you want to be a saved person today, you'll do what Peter said to do 2,000 years ago. You believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the way you enter into the Lord's army. Dear Christian, look at your life and ask yourself, what kind of soldier have I really been to my precious Lord? Faithful, loyal, dependable, at your post, obedient, one who's persevered. Maybe you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?